And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station, a minute before 9 o'clock. Coming up in an hour, we'll hear Between the Covers with host Lisa Loving. Actually, Air Cascadia is off today at 10 o'clock, and instead we're going to have an hour-long version of Flashpoints, investigative news journalism with host Dennis Bernstein. And then at 11, we'll hear Between the Covers with host Lisa Loving. Today's guest is Cole Cohen, author of a new memoir entitled Headcase, My Brain and Other Wonders. And then at 11:30, it's The Film Show with hosts Jen Chavez and SW Concer. Today's guests are Ariella Migdal of the American Civil Liberties Union and their Women's Rights Project. Then artists Craig Winslow and Michael Ackerman talk about Projecting West, their upcoming cross-country odyssey, broadcasting video along the way. Plus, we'll hear about Oliver Quintanilla's new documentary, Little Saints, about psilocybin mushrooms. That is all coming up this morning on KBOO. But up next, it's Press Watch with host Teresa Mitchell. Get all the news you're not supposed to know next on KBOO.
KBOO is proud to partner with Hopworks Urban Brewery for their Community Tap program. Every month, Hopworks features a local nonprofit organization, and May's Community Tap is your community radio, KBOO. Hopworks is located at 2944 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland. For more information on Hopworks and their Community Tap program, you can go to kboo.fm/hub.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Good morning, this is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, in an effort to walk my talk, after talking during membership drive, about how much cheaper it is to use a radio, I've tried a couple of brands, and I found on the web, as I've mentioned before, you can still get those cheap Panasonic AM/FM pocket radios, and they are available in retail stores as well. And that seems to be one of the best choices. I got one of the Philips models, the equivalent, just a little pocket radio, and it sucks. And I bought also the Grundig AM/FM shortwave pocket radio, and it's awesome, although it costs a lot more. So if you want to spend like 12, 13 bucks and get a radio, you can still do it. And as I've said before, you know, why drop all that money on data streaming for that expensive little snitch in your pocket when you can listen to free radio? And another thing I found out is that radio is still going strong around the world. And I had heard, and perhaps you had heard, that Norway is cutting back on their radio transmissions. And shortwave broadcasts around the world have been cut back. I don't think you can get Radio Moscow anymore. But there are still plenty of shortwave radio broadcasts. And radio is very much alive and well around the world. And I think it's one of those things that's just going to come back sort of like, well, supposedly, when color television got really big, it was going to kill the movie theaters. And it looked like it was for a while. If you're as old as I am, I'm pushing 60. I remember those theaters closing down. Well, what happened is they had to develop a different model. And they did, and that's why you pay so freaking much for the popcorn. But I'm here to talk about counterpropaganda and left rage and opinion. So I'm here to say, and especially following on Dave's program just now, it's time to ban rents and mortgages. Yep, that's what I said. And it's not just because of housing sweeps. Housing is a human right, and we can guarantee housing easily because there is more housing than there are homeless persons. And there's more money in this society than you can imagine. There is no shortage of money. It's how we distribute it that is the problem. And so here, I would like to take my stand and raise the red flag. Hello, I am an anarcho-socialist. And we can replace our stupid capitalist housing system with a decision to first ban rents and mortgages, and secondly, develop a more fair method of distributing housing to everyone that needs it, starting by allowing housed persons to stay where they are. The surplus can be distributed to houseless persons, and a system can be set up to upgrade all housing with as little disruption as possible. Dr. Zhivago notwithstanding. No system can be completely fair, but trying to be fair can make a hell of a difference. Of course, to ban rents and mortgages, we'd need to have a revolution. So I say it's time to have a revolution. Oh, we can't have a revolution, you say. The powerful are too powerful. Well, things change. Sometimes things change very quickly. Sometimes walls fall to the ground and people go where they want. Sometimes the Stasi runs for cover. Because housing is just one injustice we can perpetrate on each other in the name of kissing rich people's butts. Take the climate crisis, for example. The climate is headed for the swirly drain, do I need to tell you, at a terrific pace. I got some articles on that. I'm going to be expounding on that. Change needs to happen so fast that it can only be done collectively. It can only be done collectively. What are you supposed to bicycle to the next town? But of course, we have King Kong in the way. Coal, oil, nuclear, gas profiteers who not only pollute the air, land, sea, and legislatures, but who globally get about $500 billion per year in tax subsidies. The Koch brothers, K-O-C-H, are running around getting legislatures to pass bills that actually tax solar panels, arguing that fat cats like them are being wronged when people have to pay lower electric bills, as if electric bills were not already a fantastically bloated subsidy for the rich. Enron, anyone? Every international climate change conference becomes a parade of, gee, we can't afford it, hand-wringing as our wholly corporate-owned governments collaborate to make excuses and sell the entire planet's ecosystem down the road. Of course, we'd need a revolution to stop them from acting that way. I say it's time we got down to it. Now that we're past another patriotic holiday, it's time to acknowledge that we are the subjects of a military imperium. The flag waves above us with its threat against dissent. Fierce-looking soldiers appear in the news with scarcely veiled threats against anyone who would upset them by questioning imperialism or even naming it. Nor must anyone, desecrate the sacred symbol of the fatherland. For no mob violence against such an outrage would even be prosecuted, and it is illegal in 47 states. It's been trounced by the Supreme Court a couple of times. And these laws are against the Constitution, but they're very popular in the legislatures. And the U.S. flag, notice I didn't say the American flag since there's no flag for all of the Americas, North and South. The flag is just a mind control device. Just a mind control device. That's what it's for. Think about it. I've been questioned when buying a flag, warned that I must treat it with respect. Of course, I say, acting outraged. Then I burn it anyway, but I do it where I can't be stopped or caught. How do you do that? Well, you can use an accelerant that goes really quickly. Or there are other ways, but I burn it. Over the last 30 years, many flags have burned to ashes at my hands. That's because I respect the rights of the people of the United States and the world, and I wish them well, so I burn the flag. I want to stop the tyranny represented by the American flag. I want to shut down the hundreds of U.S. imperial bases around the world and end U.S. terrorism. I want U.S. veterans to be treated fairly and well. I want to break the mind control. That's why I burn it. I'm like a tiny ant flipping off an elephant, but dissent has to show defiance when defiance is outlawed. The greatest conflagrations begin with a tiny spark. Time to burn down Jim Crow imperial corporate rule. Comments? 503-231-8187. Bernie Sanders may be a shill for imperialism, but at least he has some good ideas like taxing stock transactions to raise $300 billion per year and dedicating that money to free college education. I don't think Congress will go for that, which is why I call for revolution. We should take over the U.S. Navy, like the Potemkin, and send them to Aruba and all the other island tax shelters, and steal back the trillions that are stashed there just so U.S. corporations can dodge taxes. You might have heard that there has been some progress made. Well, if you do it, if you look at it in terms of percentage of tax dodging, almost no progress has been made. Enough progress has been made so that you'll look the other way. The tax base in the United States has been shipped overseas. There's no point being nice to corporations. There aren't people. They aren't people. And they can't feel anything, much less empathy nor solidarity. A corporation is a legal fiction. We could have real prosperity, which isn't just having cash in your hands, but the guarantee that the society you live in will respect your rights. Rights like free speech, housing, economic participation, and yes, a guaranteed income. And in the United States, that could be a pretty good guaranteed income. We could have a good guaranteed income and pay war reparations to the world. We could have peace, but we have to stop kissing rich people's butts. There's more than enough money for that. Corporate rule needs to be killed. Revolution. Today, the smug bastards that rule us seem pretty powerful, but that could change tomorrow. It could change with an earthquake. It could change with a solar flare knocking out the power. It could change with a flood or a hurricane or a drought or a collapse of the currency, or more likely with some combination of those threats. And there's no need to fear the guns of the police and the military, because not one of those gun holders is a billionaire. I say these things now because times are going to change. They are going to change. And the seed of human solidarity and justice needs to be planted now so that it can grow even in the hearts and minds of people who think they're unchangeable, who think the society is unchangeable. It will change. All societies change. All empires fall. All empires turn on themselves before they fall. So what do you think? Are you grateful for corporate rule? Do you anticipate the day you will join the ranks of billionaires? Call in 503-231-8187 and Sonny's on the air.
Well, I just say, wow, I just applaud and enjoy your eloquence so much.
Well, thank you.
Such a bright, well, you just, you know, I just really appreciate everything you just had to say. It's so important. And also, you know, I just have to bring this up. I know it might not be perfectly politically correct. And we know that George Washington had his imperfections, although I do appreciate that he freed his slaves upon his death. But, you know, he could have been king, and he said, no, I'm not going to be king. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson, he did craft something beautiful, that Constitution, and Benjamin Franklin, all of them, the work on the Bill of Rights, it's beautiful. But this stuff that's going on around the world, what we're perpetrating, is not freedom. So the country got way off the rails. And the leadership has become degenerate and corrupt, and they have taken a beautiful document like the Bill of Rights, which is so precious, freedom of speech, all of that is so precious, and we had better hold on to it, and we better get ready to fight for it, because the fight has already started, and we've got that much with us still, and I think we owe them that much appreciation, like you gave us something good, you know. But then the other thing I was going to say is, you're talking about housing, and right now my employer and I have been holding down the fort here for 2 years against gang intrusion onto his property, driven by a developer, probably, who wants the property. And I mean, it's been crime on a weekly basis. And we're still standing here, and we live at 7865 Southwest 67th Garden Home neighborhood, very pretty, but with some real ugly problems in Portland. And we're still standing, and we're standing strong in peace. And we've had threats even against our families.
Well, so do you have a cooperative there or something?
No, it's just a large piece of attractive property, and just a bunch of ugly stuff going on. And I'm saying it's even reached the point of implied threats against our families, which is low, you know. But we're still here, and a lot of this is cowards. On in all levels of society, government, street level to the top, to, you know, when we're standing here strong in peace and to celebrate that fact. I told you a while back that I was going to pass the hat again amongst my cousins who so
okay, we're getting a little bit off topic. I'm sorry.
No, I brought you. I got $1,000 for you together, Teresa. And
we can't be bought here. I'm proud to say here at KBOO.
I'm bringing it into membership to let you know I got it together. I've been telling you I was going to get that.
Well,
and
thank
I got
you.
It
now,
for you. And we appreciate you.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your call. And, okay, well, I've been talking about... I've been talking about the human right to housing, rents and mortgages. I say ban them, and I say that we can move towards a revolution. Let's do it. And now I want to get to some specific news headlines, if you will. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. A heat wave scorching India this week has already killed at least 1,000 people, according to Indian authorities. But according to Tina Ghose, writing with... livescience.com, that number may be a huge underestimate. It's possible that thousands more have died as a result of the blistering conditions, but that their deaths may not have been attributed to the heat wave, and that's according to Dr. Gulrez Azhar, a community health researcher and policy analyst at RAND Corporation. Heat waves can be especially harsh on people with pre-existing health conditions such as heart disease and dehydration. That's because heat waves can overtax the body, making it difficult for people with these conditions to deal with the illness. And they often are more likely to die as a result, according to Azhar. And this heat wave could be a harbinger, as climate models suggest heat waves may become more frequent and intense in the coming decades. Right now, the central southern states of Telangana and Andhra Pradesh in India are scorching hot, with temperatures reaching a peak of 118 degrees Fahrenheit. BBC reported at least 1,118 people officially have died. The furnace-like conditions are a result of weird wind circulation. By April, the atmospheric circulation above India usually reverses course, and air hovering over Somalia blows across the Arabian Sea, picks up moisture, and then dumps that water over the subcontinent in the form of monsoon rains. But that hasn't happened yet. Quoting scientist Murtu Gudi, if you look at surface winds and wind anomalies, are coming straight from the northwestern deserts of India into the region, so they're just bringing dry, hot air instead of the moist air that should be coming off the Arabian Sea and bringing some showers. As another heat waves, many of the victims were working outdoors during the hottest part of the day or were homeless. The elderly and the very young are also more susceptible to heat stroke. But as shocking as the death toll seems, it may be a huge underestimate. Azhar says that because people who die as a result of heat don't necessarily die of heat stroke or heat rash. Instead, they die of heart attacks, kidney failure, dehydration, or other medical conditions that were exacerbated by the heat. For instance, in the western Indian city of Ahmedabad in 2010, authorities reported 50 deaths, according to a week-long heat wave. But a 2010 study detailed in the Journey Plus One, Azhar and his colleagues found that 1,344 more people died during the hottest week than is typical for the region during cooler periods. What's more, India may be more prone to undercounting because authorities rely on death certificates to ascertain the cause of death, and the homeless and those with no property to dispense are often not issued death certificates in India. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Altiana Elwand and Alexandra Zabjek write in the Edmonton Journal, Alberta's wildfire season is only 3 months in, and already it has consumed significantly more forest than last year. So far, there have been 720 wildfires in the province, burning just under 30,000 hectares of forest compared to 400 fires at the time that burned about 700 hectares. The actual amount of forest that's been consumed is dramatically different, and it's been a significant increase in terms of activity. That's a quote from Wildfire Information Officer Richard Horn, adding that the majority of those have been caused by people. Wildfire season in Canada, which began March 1st, has been very, very hectic, he said, with some firefighters working up to 24 days straight. The forested areas, he said, of the province have been incredibly dry, so much so that our meteorologists are talking about this being almost unprecedented. And all evacuation orders related to the wildfires raging in Alberta were lifted as of Wednesday afternoon, but 15 wildfires are still burning out of control, including one that has been creeping towards oil and gas infrastructure near Cold Lake. Scott Long from Alberta Emergency Management Agency told a news conference about that, and He says, there's no rain. That's the biggest concern, certainly for the foreseeable future. The conditions remain dry, and there's a possibility of further lightning strikes in the coming days. And he said that shifting winds could further complicate the situation for our fire crews. He said they're doing their best to make sure it does not impinge on any oil and gas infrastructure. And elsewhere in the article, it says that the fires are just a couple of kilometers away from oil and gas stuff. The blaze remained 5 kilometers away. Okay, 5 kilometers away from oil operations. And as of Wednesday morning, 250 firefighters and 10 helicopters are fighting the blaze, which is still considered out of control and expected to keep growing in the days ahead. And in other news, from Oregon, the firm that holds the very large helicopters, I can't remember the name of it right now, in Oregon is anticipating quite a wildfire season here in Oregon. This is Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know. I'm Teresa. This is KBOO Portland. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Mount Everest glaciers may disappear almost entirely by 2100 if greenhouse gas emissions continue to rise. According to a new study, the signal of future glacier change in the region is clear. Continued and possibly accelerated mass loss from glaciers is likely given the projected increase in temperatures, according to Joseph Shee, a glacier hydrologist at the International Center for Integrated Mountain Development in Kathmandu. Specifically, glaciers in the Everest region of the Himalayas could lose between 70% and 99% of their volume through the 21st century. Now, departing from that text, there was just a massive earthquake, of course, in Kathmandu. The land lifted about a meter during that earthquake. It was a tremendous quake and an uplift quake, which affected the atmosphere above, ionized the atmosphere measurably above Nepal. And this comes in the context of predictions that the ice loss in the area was removing so much that quakes were likely. Here in the Northwest, we have also lost a great deal of glacier volume. And there are quakes happening. There are quakes happening off the coast. And there are quakes around the mountains in the areas and in the mountain area. These are small quakes. But of course, we are overdue for an extremely large subduction zone quake off the coast. And this may be... This is certainly in some way altering the geology. And of course, it's not possible with our science today to know actually when a quake might happen. But it's a good idea to prepare for a quake. That includes things like water flashlights and food. But returning to the article, increased temperatures will not only hasten the rates of snow and ice melt in the Himalayas, but can also result in a change of precipitation from snow to rain at critical elevations where glaciers are abundant. Together, these factors will reduce glacier growth as well as increase the area exposed to melt. To better understand the climate's impact on glaciers in the future, a team of researchers in Nepal and in France and the Netherlands studied glaciers in the Dude Khosi Basin in the Himalayas, which is home to the world's highest mountain peaks, including Mount Everest. They used a combination of field observations and data from local weather stations to test a model of glacier change over the past 50 years. Glacier response, at least in part, is due to changes in the freezing level, the elevation where mean monthly temperatures are 0 degrees Celsius, 32 degrees Fahrenheit. The freezing level currently varies between 3,200 meters in January and 5,500 in August. Based on historical temperature measurements and projected warming for the year 2100, this would increase by 800 to 1,200 meters. And such an increase would not only reduce snow accumulations over the glaciers, but it would also expose over 90% of the current glacier area to melt in the warmer months. How sad is that? Returning to the article, the researchers caution that their results are only preliminary. And there's more to that article. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. This is Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. I've been calling for a revolution, and I've been trying to shape a little bit of what that revolution will look like. I am an anarcho-socialist, which means that I look at Marx and I look at the history of socialist revolutions, and I say these revolutions were in many ways quite faulty, and as we all know, grossly faulty and dangerous. And that's because human nature is human nature, but they were at some level an attempt to improve conditions. And I think that we can learn. We can say, And I can say, as an anarcho-socialist, that I am against vanguardism, and that we must make every effort in our revolution to treat each other well and not to create a vanguard, which is, you know, the people who are more equal than others, to quote Orwell's Animal Farm. Back to the details of the need for revolution. On the 22nd of this month, the Yamashina Institute for Ornithology reported that they detected cesium-134 and 137 from 92 of the swallow nests that they studied in Fukushima, and they only studied 92. Overall, in other words, all the nests had cesium. Overall, the cesium was measured from 150 of 182 swallow nests collected in 12 prefectures. Okay, I got that wrong. 150 out of 82. I'm getting a little confused with this information. All right, let me start over with that. I'll start with the second sentence. Cesium was measured from 150 of 182 swallow nests collected in 12 prefectures there in Tokyo, and included the prefectures in Kanto, Northeast, Northwest Coast, and Mid-Japan area, except Tochigi. The highest reading was 90,000 becquerels per kilogram in a swallow nest in Fukushima. And I just want to say, you would not want a swallow that was projecting 90,000 becquerels per kilogram of radiation to fly into your house. It would be a problem. They measured cesium even from the sample collected in Shizuoka Prefecture, which is a ways from the nuclear power plant wreck, which is currently leaking at a terrific rate into the ocean. This research was implemented by Yamashina Institute for Ornithology and the National Institute for Environmental Studies, and you can find that information at FukushimaDiary.com. That's Fukushima-Diary.com. And the person who does that depends on your contributions. And he has been banned from PayPal because certain corporations are very upset that he continually puts out the truth about Fukushima, even though it has been forgotten by much of the world. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. The 27-year-old son of China's richest man took to the social media site Weibo to post photos of his dog wearing not one but two gold Apple watches. Shanghaiist said the caption on the photos reads, as if being put out by the dog, "I have new watches. I'm supposed to have four watches since I have four long legs, but that seems too uncouth, so I kept it down to two, which totally fits my status. Do you have one?" Apple's gold watches retail for between $10,000 and $17,000 each, depending on specifications, and have a 3 to 4 week wait time. But if you're a billionaire's son, that's no problem. You can hire someone to stand in line. And there's a picture of the poor dog looking confusedly at its front paws, which each have a gold Apple Watch. And that's what billionaires do with their money. The Globe and Mail says that the Ebola outbreak in Guinea and Sierra Leone is expected to take all of 2015 to stamp out and may persist even longer because of dwindling financing. That might be a little different, speaking for myself, from what you had picked up from the media, thinking perhaps Ebola was over. Well, it's not. It will persist. And returning to the article, Guinea and Sierra Leone reported a total of 12 cases in the week to last Sunday, down from 36 the previous week. They included new infections and deaths that occurred outside of treatment centers as communities hide their sick. Liberia, the third country hit by West Africa's year-long epidemic, was declared Ebola-free after 42 days without a case. That was on May 9th. The disease has killed more than 11,000 people overall, among 27,000 infected. Quoting the World Health Organization Special Representative for Ebola, Dr. Bruce Aylward, "When you look at case numbers today, this is where Liberia was in January. As you know, it took Liberia 4 months to get from those numbers to zero." He said in a best-case scenario, one would be looking to perhaps stopping transmission by the end of September, but we're not dealing with the best-case scenario, end quote. The rainy season has begun in West Africa, compounding the difficulty of searching remote areas, and one in three new infections still occurs in people not suspected of having been exposed to the virus, he said. And speaking for myself, of course, this comes in the context of revelations that Ebola remains in the semen and it remains in the fluid of the eye. So when you think you're free of Ebola, you're not. A creepy virus Number to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Micah is on the air.
How much have you read or heard about these giant holes blowing out of the ground in Siberia of methane explosions?
There are giant holes in the ground, and yes, I followed that. Was something that was more in the news a few months ago. And there is methane being produced over Siberia as we speak.
Yeah, they're huge. They're like the size of a city block, and they've never seen them before, and they're just blowing out of the ground like a giant, like this is the Earth having a giant zit blowing out or something. And I don't know.
The image.
There's not a whole lot of talk about it, but I remember 5-10 years ago, all the climatologists and experts on global warming saying that once the methane release from the tundra started kicking in, it's all over.
The clathrate gun, the methane gun, it's very much a concern. And, well, let's see, there was an article in Live Science on February 26th saying 7 giant craters have mysteriously appeared in northern Siberia. And, yeah, it's happening. And these are very deep craters.
Yeah, and, they're huge. And huge scientists amount of methane that's instantly being released.
Scientists have been rappelling down into them to find out more about it, but it's a frightening development, especially in view of research that shows that methane does peak in an extreme way and in association with planet-wide heat waves. So, yeah, what can I say? It's happening.
I was also reading about chemtrails one time, and there's been whistleblowers that have come out and said, yes, they are really doing it, and it really is geoengineering. And
who's they?
These different people that wrote these articles.
No, I mean, who's doing it?
The Air Force, U.S. government, and they have even pictures. I saw pictures of the insides of the planes that they use, and they're just full of these stainless steel tanks just lined up, and they just release all this stuff, and
okay.
There's 3 or 4 different toxic chemicals in there they're dropping. But the problem is, this one guy, he's been studying it, following it for like the last 15 years. He said that the problem is now the climate change is so advanced that if they actually stopped doing it, it would be a bigger problem and that we would have even more runaway climate change. And so they have no choice now but to continue doing it because we're at such an advanced stage of global warming, climate change.
I do want to say something about that. The first thing I want to say is that aircraft produce contrails. They do under certain weather conditions. You can see contrails being emitted by B-17 aircraft, for example, heading for Germany in 1944. If you look at the old films, and they're very extensive contrails. Contrails produce ice crystals which reflect sunlight, and they also reflect heat. And so they reflect sunlight during the day, and they hold heat in at night. And this is established in a very direct way, you know, on September 12th, 2001, when all airplane flights were shut down over the U.S. and the temperatures changed accordingly. During the day, temperatures were markedly hotter. During the night, the temperatures were substantially lower as the heat was lost into space from air that was not covered with contrails. Notice I said contrails instead of chemtrails. And I have noticed also, I've looked up like everyone else, and I've noticed that military aircraft have sometimes crisscrossed the air above Portland. And it does look rather deliberate, and I suspect that it is. Now, having said that, the reason I'm saying this way is watch the hell out. There's plenty of red herrings out there. There evidently is some effort. I mean, of course there is an effort from the Pentagon. These people do not feel that they have any obligation to reveal anything they do, even to the people they affect. They've gotten used especially since the Second World War, to, you know, bombing whoever they like and doing whatever they want, you know, including spreading viruses just to see what they do and spreading radioactive materials. And I could go on and on. So, saying watch out. Something's happening. Be careful what you read and trace its sources and remember the names or Google the names. I should say use an internet search. Use DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo the names and see where you're getting it, because one trick of imperialism, and a very widely used trick, is to put tainted stories in the media so that anyone quoting them will then be dismissed as a nut because of false information. But I do want to say, now having said all that, I think you're on to it. I think it is true that weather modification is now happening. I don't think it's necessary to spread any chemicals, and also it's rather difficult, and I suspect that when chemicals are spread, I'm sure that they are, it's a relatively rare thing, and all that is necessary to reflect heat during the day, as I've been saying, is simply to produce the contrails. And as a matter of fact, if contrail-producing flights were banned at night over this planet, it would begin to cool rapidly. So that would be all that is actually necessary to produce a geoengineering effect. Nothing elaborate. We already know that contrails will perform and are performing and have been for decades performing engineering that we weren't even aware of, or which at whatever level was not acknowledged.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not a complete expert on it, but I know that traditional contrails are just water vapor, and they evaporate and disappear. And something that does not disappear, and you can see it drifting down and expanding through the sky, is not just water vapor.
Okay, I'm going to contradict you.
But anyway, another thing, the water issue and the water reservoirs, I think that's why they want to close our reservoirs and put them underground, because they know they're spraying these chemtrails all the time, and they know that it's falling everywhere, and they know that you can't have an open water reservoir if these chemtrails are falling. They're spraying them almost every day.
I won't say that's wrong, but I think it's unnecessarily elaborate. But I do thank you for calling in, and I thank you for thinking critically.
One more issue about the money and the rent.
All right.
Why not just eliminate money completely? That's an idea at one time. Just eliminate money.
Well, it might happen accidentally. Hey, thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Thank you very much for that call. And we have been talking about climate change. We've been talking about the need for revolution. Been talking about gestures against mind control. And John is on the air.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Hey, I just want to say I really appreciate your show.
Thanks.
Fight the power, man. Like, fight the power. And relating to the earthquakes in Asia, you said the uplift quake that disturbed the atmosphere?
Yeah. In Nepal.
I don't know if you've read, but the Air Force recently acknowledged the HAARP program.
HAARP program has been shut down.
Ionospheric control of the weather patterns.
HAARP program's been shut down for years now.
Well, I heard they acknowledged it.
They did, yes.
That it was actual weather manipulation based, that was the actual purpose of it.
Yeah, they did all sorts of exercises with that.
I think it's highly disturbing that it's going on at all and the public awareness is so little.
With that, you know, let's call for transparency. Let's call for transparency in the government that we have now, and let's call for transparency in our revolution, and let's have a revolution in which we actually walk our talk.
Yeah, right, and quit interfering with other people's worlds.
Right on.
It's ridiculous. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187 from youractive.com. Germany's state consumer protection ministers are calling for a European Union-wide ban on the leading global substance glyphosate, pesticide it says, after it was actually an herbicide. Actually, it was categorized as carcinogenic by the World Health Organization. However, the federal government and Germany sees no need for action. After evaluating the most widely used herbicide in Germany and worldwide, the World Health Organization cancer researchers have categorized glyphosate as probably carcinogenic to humans. And speaking for myself, this follows on information that I repeated last week about a lawsuit here in the United States, which points to the fact that glyphosate wipes out microbiota in the human gut and produces a range of illness symptoms in direct contradiction to the claims of Monsanto. I would say, should be called Monsatan Co. properly and with good reason. Returning to the article, in a resolution on the 8th of May, Germany's state ministers called for the supply to and use by private persons to be banned for precautionary reasons. In addition, the politicians argue that glyphosate should be prohibited for use as close to consumers. Quoting Lower Saxony's consumer protection minister, this pesticide should not be found in gardens. in parks or on children's playgrounds. I also do not think use in private gardens is appropriate, end quote. Glyphosate is the most commonly used herbicide worldwide. It is used in agriculture, particularly in fruit and grain cultivation, but also in small garden plots. Now, I want to depart once again from the text there and repeat that glyphosate is being sprayed very commonly, extremely commonly, on wheat crops in the U.S. And it is sprayed at the end of the season because it has been found to be what is called a drying agent. Basically, it stresses the wheat into producing more wheat, more fruit. Pardon me. Right at the end of the season when the grain would be drying out just before it's harvested. This means that glyphosate is loaded into, well, all that wheat that you're eating. I mean, just look at everything you're eating. Wheat is everywhere. And many of us have discovered that we can no longer eat wheat. We say that we have celiac, or we say that we are gluten intolerant. And scientists associated with Monsanto and everyone who tends towards conformity, including scientists, including some very educated people, scoff at that because it's not specifically accurate. And I suspect, and this is me being analytical, but of course I can't claim to be scientific, but I do suspect, and I think you can follow my logic on this, that there being so much glyphosate in our wheat products that we are being poisoned by it. And when you get symptoms of gluten intolerance, it's really that you're intolerant to Monsanto's glyphosate. And returning to the article, the agricultural giant Monsanto distributes glyphosate on their product named Roundup. The market share of Roundup and glyphosate could continue to grow in the future if cultivation of genetically modified plants is approved in some European Union member states. Most genetically modified plants like corn or designed to be resistant to glyphosate. In this way, herbicides can be administered to fields, eradicating weeds and other plants without harming crops. The state minister's resolution in Germany comes at a critical time. The EU's approval for glyphosate will expire at the end of this year. The European Commission is currently conducting a new approval structure, including a risk analysis. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I've been talking about, these various crimes by corporations and by the Imperial War Center that we call the Pentagon. I've been calling for revolution on that basis, and Amy's on the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Good morning.
Hello, KBOO listeners. I just want to say one thing about the reservoir, the Washington Park Reservoir, City Hall. And people need to go and remember what Ralph Nader said, which is it only takes about 1% of the population to, you know, kind of bring the attention of so-called lawmakers and get them to do different things. So we all need to remember that we are empowered and we need to do things locally and give a damn, basically. And I want to applaud you, Teresa, for the things that you bring up and the stories and the issues. I want to applaud you.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Okay. I want to encourage people listening, like BJ and Joanne, and there's a couple people who call religiously, listen religiously, and care deeply, and I just want to tell them from my heart to theirs, I love them. I want to say that we have a city council who, I heard the mayor say directly, here are the illustrious ones. And I looked around the city hall and they were up and coming suits and ties. You know, they were the moneyed class. And previous to that, there were people who were opposing the destruction of the Washington Park Monument. So Mayor Hales is not a mayor of the people, and we need to elect, I think it's Steve Erstwhile.
All right.
We need a new mayor.
All right. Well,
and
thank you.
Remember the people. People have the power.
Thank you for that information. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. A local issue has been mentioned a couple of times here. The reservoirs that are on Mount Tabor and in Washington Park, the Mount Tabor reservoirs, I think, are scheduled to be cut off from the water system. This is in response to a federal mandate, which would bring, well, really too much pressure to bear on the city council if they are not cut off. So the city council is producing ways and means to cut them off, but the actual pressure for cutting off those reservoirs, open reservoirs, is coming from the federal government because of their very urgent need to remind you to be afraid. And you must be afraid at all times. It's super important for that, for the extreme maldistribution of information, wealth, and power in this country to continue as it is. You must believe that mysterious forces are coming towards you even as you walk about or as you sleep, and that these mysterious ISIS forces of terrorism may attack you at any second by the most devious means, poison hidden in pens, poison in the reservoir. And then they add in once a corpse was mysteriously, I would say, probably launched into one of the reservoirs there on Mount Tabor. You're supposed to fear that as well. And this water system that has worked so well, and which actually, because of its volume, cannot be poisoned without a very, very large truck. Because of dilution, because of mathematics, you cannot be poisoned from these open reservoirs. It's just an absurd idea which disappears on just an arith. It doesn't even take a scientific analysis. It takes an arithmetic analysis to determine that these threats are just threats. And that's a theme that I like to emphasize on this program, that we are being ruled. We are being ruled by the instrument of fear, and what we are fearing is bogus. There is a reason why the people who fear to go out of their houses are the people who watch the most television. It works. It works really well. It's really sick. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Marie is on the air.
Hello. Well, my name is Marie Knight, and it's actually really interesting, you know, that you brought that up, because that was one of the things I was thinking about.
Well, synchronicity,
good. I had
stopped
watching mainstream television a long time ago, and I don't go on the internet very much, but I do remember a difference because I was in college for a long time, and I'm going to get ready to go back to college, that there was a huge difference mood-wise in, you know, how I felt whenever I was, you know, constantly exposed to media, as opposed to the way I am now, which, you know, I hardly ever watch television or listen to mainstream radio because, you know, there's a lot of things that they advertise, a lot of things that are shown that really don't matter to me personally because, you know, traditionally I'm a first fruits gatherer. I'm very, you know, concerned about, you know, whether, how it affects, you know, our foods and our animals and, you know, just the basic things that we have because, you know, part of what I think, you know, the problem with the United States is, you know, people's reliance on store-bought food because, you know, they're being advertised all over television and, you know, people just forgot how to recognize food, period, you know, just in its natural state. And they
this
don't
is
know
so
how
true.
To grow their own food.
I mean, we're suffering from the food distribution system in the United States, and people don't think of it that way. They think because you and I were brought up in a world in which one got food by paying for it, mm-hmm. and by paying for commercial products or brands that we recognize and things that we see on television, et cetera, we forget that we are in a food distribution system. And how does our food distribution system work and what are its characteristics? I mean, just to think about that frame mm-hmm. is something important and something
yeah,
I'm glad that you brought it up.
I think that's one of the scariest things that people are starting to realize is, you know, when they don't know how to cook, they don't know how to survive if they all of a sudden they couldn't go to the store anymore.
We'll learn pretty quickly if the distribution system fails.
mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, with pesticides being used, we're being told what to eat. We're also being told everything, what to do when we are associated with television. I mean, we look at what people are more concerned about that watch mainstream TV. They're worried about reality TV stars. They're worried about, you know, games or seeing movies or know, things like that. And they're
not really
focused on family or growing food or culture traditions, which, you know, there's still a lot of indigenous culture out there in the world, and, you know, people are just so disconnected from their basic roots that, you know, they're just worried about what's new, what's in, what's in style, and, I really think that's what the problem is, because, you know, we're being told how to live and how to act. And
I really think you're right. I appreciate you bringing that up. And I want to pull the focus back a little bit and say, you know, these things, why are these things happening? These things are happening because we habitually submit to a basically disconnected and heartless and small hierarchy. It's the same as Stalinism in a way, because the production looks very different superficially, but what's really happening as under Stalinism is that a very small group of people, a vanguard, if you will, we call our vanguard billionaires, are ruling us by various ways and means, as I said, by fear, by the mind control device of the flag, by a need for conformity, by various produced and imagined scarcities. We are being ruled, and that is what is not acceptable. And I, more important to me than whether we call our system capitalism or socialism or anarchism, more important to me is that we are not ruled by a hierarchy, and that we are not, well, basically that we are not ruled, that to whatever extent is possible through our education, through and our habit of participation, that we actually have a transparent system that we can participate in. I mean, that's what we really need.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a lot of the ways that the structures were made, even, you know, before imperialism came in, because, you know, a lot of, if you look at the frame of a lot of indigenous cultures, they worked on a very small scale in their own communities and their own tribes. And, you know, we have this, you know, very large political system that's not really worried about what happens at local levels. And that's where all the suffering is happening.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Thank you very much for your call. I'm going to give the number, although I'm going to go into a list of military exercises in Eastern Europe and around Ukraine, and in and around Ukraine, because I want to try to bring up just how dire the situation is there. And here again, you can call, and I'll try to get to some calls if I have time after getting through this list. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And But this list should give you an idea of how dire the situation is. And once again, this is a hierarchy. This is the Pentagon responding to, I hope they're still responding to politicians. Maybe they're just completely autonomous at this point. I guess they are largely. But the Pentagon responding to the desires of the billionaires is creating a war in and around Ukraine. And let me give you some details so you understand just how bad the situation is. This is from the soccer.is. S-A-K-E-R, exercise Orkan 15 to improve the execution of live firings, a training with live firing for artillery subunits. And that's happening at the Torin training site in the Adriatic Sea from the 19th of 20, to the 21st of May. And I'm sorry, I misspoke. The one I just mentioned ended on the 19th. 19th through 21st, naval activities, sea control and sea denial and collective defense or crisis response operations included live fire against surface and air targets. What fun! Going on today, since the 22nd, the X-Trident Poseidon Live X in the port of Constanta in the Western Black Sea, that close to Russia, to promote mutual understanding, confidence, interoperability, operational capabilities, blah-de-blah-de-blah, maritime war, mine warfare procedures for command, control, and communications are going on through the 29th, tomorrow. X-Platinum Eagle Live X exercise is going on. And NATO says it's to provide quality, organized, realistic training for designated military units. Reinforce relationships, build better understanding of partner nations, and then it goes into a bunch of military acronyms. I have no idea what they stand for, TTPs and ROU and GBR and God knows what. And through tomorrow, also the X-Puma exercise to improve execution of military activities, 15 French Leclerc main battle tanks, 4 infantry armored vehicles, 300 French troops in the Polish Drosko camp. That's going on. Through tomorrow, the Ex-Hiena, the National Polish Execution of Military Activities. Through the 12th of June, Steadfast Indicator, NATO live exercise, evaluating the mission readiness and interoperability of NRF human stay. I'm just, you know, these human intelligence, I guess. All these Pentagon acronyms. Exercises the human intelligence tradecraft in support of NATO crises management. This sounds much like the Jade Helm exercise that will be going on in the southern states. The Steadfast Cobalt Interoperability exercise is going on now through June 15th, and this is an exercise for NRF and Trident. That's the nuclear submarines. And they write, NATO writes, assess and document the level of blah, blah, blah. There's just a whole lot of acronyms, and they're pretty impenetrable if you're not the military sort. They say identification of shortfalls, recommendation of capability products, blah, blah, blah. They're going to be playing with the Trident submarines, and I like Trident much better. If it were just gum, well, it's lousy gum, but, you know, still. All through June and July, NATO is conducting massive exercises in the Baltic and Black Seas. Starting on the 22nd of June, there's going to be Sea Breeze Multilateral. Sea Breeze is a multilateral marine exercise in the Black Sea, co-hosted with the Ukrainian Navy. Focus on is on maritime security operations capabilities. A whole bunch of acronyms follow. Sanctioned under UN mandate to conduct counter-piracy operations at sea. I haven't heard of any piracy happening in the Black Sea, so that's interesting. This, as I was saying, is from the soccer.is. This website is very useful in getting the other side of the Ukraine conflict. And, of course, it is propaganda, and it has all of the attitudes and the nonsense you would expect from a propaganda exercise and this. But I think that it's very important to look at the other side. And since there is so much, to the extent that the war in Ukraine is covered at all in the U.S., we are just getting straight bunk about it. As I have laughed over and over the last year, the invisible tank brigades and the invisible soldiers are still, you know, rampaging somehow over Ukraine, if you would believe that. And when Secretary of State John Kerry speaks, he speaks as if there were a massive invasion going on from Russia. There simply is not. And if there were, if I can just say the most basic thing, there would be pictures. And but, you know, having said that, of course, there are pictures, and there's enough in terms of photographic, put it in scare quotes, documentation to convince people who are not paying attention. Because, and when you look at the pictures, you see one or two tanks at a time. And then you, if you really poke and find out, you'll discover that these tanks are common to Ukraine and to the Donetsk self-defense forces. That's what they call, that's what the so-called pro-Russian rebels are called. People who do not want to go along with the Svoboda and Right Sector Nazis, who are fighting against them with artillery and tanks, steal their tanks and artillery and shoot back with them. And sometimes you can see a picture of that. And then that is presented as if it were a Russian invasion. Well, it isn't. And as I have said before, pardon me for beating myself, but if Russia were invading, it would be over. They know how to invade. They have thousands of tanks. They have all kinds of brand new tanks that they're very proud of. They have aircraft. They know what they're doing. And you would see very different pictures if that was actually happening. Getting towards the top of the hour, so I'm just going to go on with some of this information. The Joint Operational Exercise Histria 15 is scheduled for September. So as I've been saying, exercises are happening and are planned for months. And quoting a senior NATO official, who spoke to John Schindler, who is quoted on this website, "We'll probably be at war this summer. If we're lucky, it won't be nuclear." So following with more information from the soccer.is, the Right Sector have attacked a police official in Odessa. West Ukrainians have hanged effigies of Poroshenko, Yatsenyuk, and Groysman politicians because they are so lacking in jobs and money. And there's more on that at that website. You've been listening to Press Watch, coming out to you via the terrestrial transmitter at 90.7 FM and other frequencies here in the Cascadian region. Coming up, Air Cascadia. Air Cascadia is not on today. We have different programming, more of the incomparable radio zine, going out to you via KBOO.FM, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
Yes, good morning. KBOO Portland is your community radio station. A minute before 10 o'clock. No Air Cascadia today. Chris Andre is off today. Instead, we've got an hour-long Flashpoints coming up. It's investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. Followed by Between the Covers at 11. Today, host Lisa Loving speaks with Cole Cohen about her new book, Headcase, My Brain and Other Wonders, a memoir of her struggle to make her way and set up a life after doctors discovered a hole in her brain the size of a lemon. At 11:30, it's The Film Show with host Jen Chavez and SW Concer. Today's guests are Ariella Migdal of the American Civil Liberties Union and their Women Rights Project. Then artists Craig Winslow and Michael Ackerman talk about Projecting West, their upcoming cross-country odyssey, broadcasting video along the way. Plus, we'll hear about Oliver Quintanilla's new documentary, Little Saints, about psilocybin mushrooms. It's a jam-packed Thursday for you here on the Mighty Boo. Hey, thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support during our recent membership drive. If you missed it, you can still contribute by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
If you're interested in creating queer programming, come to KBOO on Wednesday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. for an information session. You'll learn about how to start a show, the trainings involved, and the obligations for being a KBOO volunteer, and more. Again, that's an information session for queer programming on Wednesday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm/outloud.